you have any questions, you can ask Maharaj. Don't hesitate, you please ask him. He is there for you to answer any of your questions.
Maharaj, you say, like, when we try to preach to others, and they usually say, we are not seeing, the soul is transferring to body to body, and this is the only life we are getting in, so we should enjoy it.
But you are saying, Bhagavad Gita tells us how we are seeing the transmigration of the soul in this very life. At one time you were a tiny baby, then you became a young child, now you are in the prime of your youth. Soon you will become very old, then your body will be scrapped by material nature, like an old ship. So we see how the body is always changing, and the soul is the source of life that is witnessing all the changes of this body. Do we not see this everywhere around? It is not something we have to believe. It is truth, it is reality, that the soul remains the same through all the changes of the body. And according to Bhagavad Gita, and according to all the great acharyas, the time of death is simply a continuation of that change of bodies. According to our actions, and our desires, we enter into another body at the time of death.
But Maharaj, when we say you should become a devotee and you should take a spiritual path, they say we are enjoying this material nature, you all may enjoy there. Who knows after that where we are going to go? So for that,
Krishna knows. And he reveals to us in principle how this process takes place. If you engage in pious activities, you may get another human life. If you engage in impious activities, you will get a birth where there is great suffering. And if you engage in devotional activities, you get an original spiritual body is again given to you. So we have to, if we do not know something intelligence is to approach someone who knows. That is a sign of intelligence. If you do not know something, you approach someone who knows. Just because you're ignorance does not mean you should remain ignorant forever. Otherwise, why people go to school? Because people do not know, so they go to school to be educated. Children do not know, so their parents must educate them. So spiritually, we do not know. The people you are talking about, the best they could say is they do not know. They cannot say they know there is no soul. They cannot say that they know there is no birth after death. All they can say is they do not know. So if they are intelligent, that they will search out someone who knows. To say that nobody knows just because you do not know is a very ignorant thing to say. Because God, who is the creator of everything, He knows, and through the scriptures and through His various incarnations, He has given us the information, and the great sadhus, the great gurus in disciplic succession, they are repeating His name, His words, so they know. Srila Prabhupada would always tell us, because I am simply repeating the words of Krishna, who knows, therefore everything I say is perfect. So what is the soul? What is life? What is reincarnation? We cannot know by our own intelligence. The greatest intelligence is to approach someone who does know. And if these people want to remain in ignorance, birth after birth after birth, and waste this valuable opportunity of human life, then they can go on with this idea that I do not know and nobody knows. But if they want to actually make their life perfect, if they want to find fulfillment in their human existence, tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhigachche, they must approach someone who knows, and they must inquire submissively. If they say, I do not know, but I know one thing that nobody knows. First they say they don't know, then they say they know. And what do they know? That they don't know, and nobody knows. This type of logic is the very logic that wastes one's human form of life. And there are so many people following this path of ignorance. So real intelligence is to be like Arjuna. I do not know, therefore we approach God and His representative to teach us. Then we can understand. And Krishna explains very logically and scientifically in Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe komarom yovaram jara tatha dehan taraprabdhir kirastatra namovata, that as the soul is passing through various bodies within this life, the body of an infant, the body of a baby, a child, a youth, an old person. Similarly, the time of death, the soul just passes into another phase, into another body. This is knowledge. So if these people have any sincerity or intelligence in their hearts, when this is explained to them, they will listen carefully and try to understand. But if they are fools and want to remain fools forever, they will just say, I do not know and no one knows. Such persons are most unfortunate. Spiritual life is a science. It is a science beyond the senses and the reach of their perception. They will go to college and they will go to university to learn so many sciences. They admit they do not know, so they read so many textbooks and go to so many qualified professors. But when it comes to the greatest and most important science, spiritual science, they say, I do not know and no one knows. That is ignorance, avidya. They should approach and try to understand from those who are professors of the science of spirituality, who can explain the nature of the soul. And throughout history, there are so many books of the histories of so many great acharyas and so many great devotees, and there are so many wonderful scriptures within the Vedic literatures. And they all give very succinct, logical, rational information about the nature of the soul and the nature of God and the nature of life. And so many practical incidents of how people became enlightened by receiving this knowledge. And even amongst us today, there are so many wonderful devotees who are experiencing this higher state of consciousness, transcendental consciousness. So if such a person has any sincerity or any intelligence, they will inquire submissively. And rather than saying, I don't know, so no one knows, they will say, I do not know, please teach me. So you should tell this person like this, that just because he's ignorant, he doesn't have to remain ignorant forever. He should inquire from someone who knows. If you're suffering, how you're enjoying life?
Hey, they can go to disco there, you know. Suffering is not permanent according to them. They 24 hours, they are
nothing is permanent according to material laws. So everyone is enjoying to some extent, and everyone is suffering according to some extent, according to our previous actions. That is true. But the difference is, going through this life of some happiness and some distress, some pleasure and some pain, a devotee wants to progress beyond this. And a materialistic person is simply incriminating himself more and more in the bondage of this suffering. Devotees also have suffering because they have bodies. If you have a body, you have to suffer. That is material nature. But they are using this body to go somewhere. Huh? They are going to a destination where there will be no more suffering. Just like if you're suffering and you're in a automobile, a vehicle, huh? So one person in his suffering condition, the automobile is taking him to a hospital where he can be cured of his suffering and become healthy again. And the other person is just going to the brothel or to the permit room or someplace where just continuation of suffering. So both are suffering, but one is going to the place where there is no more suffering. That is devotee. You understand? So this body is a place of suffering. We will not say that you become a devotee and your body will become free of suffering. But use this body for the ultimate solution to suffering. By becoming Krishna conscious, no more birth, old age, disease, and death. The soul is liberated in the spiritual world. Others, they may undergo the same suffering, but they are simply perpetuating the cycle of suffering in their life. So it's better to tolerate the difficulties for the purpose of a solution than to tolerate the difficulties simply to complicate the problems. That is the difference between a devotee and a materialistic person. But you are always coming. You are always coming. Because we have to understand that to make real spiritual progress, we have to live our life according to the principles of Krishna's teachings, not according to our own ideas. To chant at home and to have nice temple at home is very good. But unless we have the association of nice devotees and guidance of proper spiritual masters, then we will not really understand how to chant at home or how to do our worship at home in the proper consciousness. Throughout the scriptures, it is explained how essential it is to have association of sincere and advanced devotees, and to be trained by proper spiritual masters. This is what God says. So if you want to understand God, you have to do it according to God's direction, not according to your direction or your neighbor's direction. Now in India, most people are doing things according to their own ideas or their family's ideas or their neighbor's ideas. And those ideas are only good so far as the family and the neighbors are following the guidance of Krishna. And Krishna says you have to have spiritual teacher who is in a disciplic succession. Krishna explains also that you need the association of devotees. The great acharyas in every sampradaya establish temples as educational institutions for people to come and learn how to be Krishna conscious and take that knowledge to their own homes and do it properly. Krishna consciousness is an education that has to be applied to your life. The same people that you are talking about who say, let me just stay home and do my puja, why do they send their children to school? What if their children say, let me just stay home and read books? Why they send them to school? If the children wanted to expose them, they would say that if you're going to learn about God by sitting home, then I am going to learn about studies by sitting home. But the parents will never accept that. So they should not be hypocrites. If they know that the children need to get advanced education by experienced teachers, then those parents should go to the proper temples and learn from experienced teachers how to worship God, how to serve God, how to purify your heart and love God. That is essential. So the real question is, do we want to actually make spiritual advancement, or do we just want to perform some rituals and have some piety in our life? There is a very vast difference. Material disappointment? Material disappointment is inevitable. It is bound to be. We have to see, according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, that this is a world of dualities. Matra sparashas tu konteya sitos na sukadukata. Agama payano nityastam satikshasva bharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, success and disappointment, they are all coming like the winter and summer seasons. Krishna says you have to learn to tolerate them. And how do we tolerate them? By remaining fixed and determined in our sadhana and in our seva. We have to look for our pleasure in life. We have to look for our fortune in life in our sadhana and in our seva. Not in the dualities of this world. Because when you are successful, that is no better than when you are disappointed. They are both material and they will both come. So we should not seek happiness in these things. We should not seek meaning in our life in these things. We have to continuously be determined in good association of devotees. We need association to help us. We have to be determined to be looking for our fulfillment, our happiness, and our purpose in life in our sadhana and in our devotional service. And if we do that, then we will be transcendental to the dualities of this world. We have to keep our mind very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question? It is very important. If you... if you are not... if a plant does not have its roots deep in the ground, then any wind that comes by will just blow that plant anywhere and everywhere. Yes? But if that plant has its roots deep in the ground, then even the strongest winds cannot take that plant anywhere. So we have to keep our consciousness deeply rooted in our devotional activities, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in chanting our rounds very determined every day, in following the regulative principles, in serving Vaishnavas and associating with Vaishnavas. Our consciousness should be going deeper and deeper in being rooted in these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting and association of devotees. And then whatever this world does, whether it is the greatest disappointments or whether it is the greatest successes, we remain fixed. So do not look for happiness in the dualities of this world. Seek your fulfillment and your happiness in your devotional life. And then you can be transcendental and firm in every situation. That's why it is very important to regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, to regularly chant attentively every day, to regularly perform seva every day, Krishna Smaranam. You should be angry with those things that take you away from Krishna. That is all right. You should be angry with those people and situations that are offensive to Krishna or the process of devotional service. You should not be angry because of the lack of fulfillment of your material ambitions. People in this world, when they have desire, material desires, and some impediment comes, or someone is an impediment, then we become very angry. This is explained in Gita. Dhyayato vishayan. What is that verse? Dhyayato vishayan pumsang. Sangat pandat. That when we have material desires and attachments and they are unfulfilled, we become very angry. So how to stop anger? To attach ourselves not to sense gratification, but to cultivate attachment to Krishna. Cultivate attachment to chanting Krishna's names, to seeing the deity of Krishna, to hearing the glories of Krishna, to serving the devotees of Krishna. We should cultivate attachment to these things, to hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And that attachment will purify us from material attachments. To the degree we are attached, to that degree we will become angry when the fulfillment of our attachments is impeded. So the only way to be free from anger is to transfer that attachment from the temporary things of this world to the eternal things of Krishna. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Our whole philosophy and our whole lifestyle is simply to cultivate deeper attachment to Krishna, who is eternal. And then naturally we become free from anger. So go on hearing the glories of the Lord, go on chanting His name, go on keeping your mind fixed in His service, and gradually all these impurities of lust and anger and pride will naturally disappear. Because as we associate and become attached to Krishna, who is all pure, we become pure. And as we keep our consciousness on these material objects which are impure, we become more and more impure. So just practice the process of Krishna consciousness. And in the meanwhile, if you have to become angry, you should become angry with your own mind for always trying to take you away from Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, every morning I beat my mind with shoes, and in the evening I beat my mind with stick. Huh? So that means he's angry with his mind. You don't beat someone unless you're angry. Mind, you're always trying to take my life away from Krishna. So you beat with the shoe. Shoe means seva. When we Krishna's shoes, not your own shoes. Beat it with Krishna's shoes by keeping your mind fixed with Krishna's seva. And broomstick, broom is meant to clean. So we clean it with the holy name. So through seva and harinam, we should keep our mind always in order. And if it goes away, we should become angry. No mind. Forget it, you rascal. Go back to Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The principle of initiation was established by Krishna himself, that he reveals the truths of himself through his devotees, who are imparting the message that has been preserved through disciplic succession. This is the authorized process of receiving spiritual knowledge and receiving Krishna's grace. By humbling ourselves, Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena hari prashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatudarshana. The absolute truth himself is describing that if you want to know the truth, you have to approach spiritual master. And you have to inquire submissively and render service. Self-realized soul can impart knowledge to you because he has seen the truth. And he also says, evam parampara praptam, that this knowledge has been passed down and preserved through the system of disciplic succession. So those great spiritual masters who are humbly presenting the eternal truth as it has been passed down through disciplic succession, they could reveal Krishna to us. And there is virtually no other way of receiving Krishna in this material existence. That is the system that Krishna has personally arranged. Krishna has explained how to approach spiritual master. We inquire submissively. That means we admit that we do not know, and we admit that there is a great necessity of learning. So we approach in that humble state of mind, and we are willing to follow what is taught to us. That is called sevaya. service. We are willing to apply what is told in our life. Not that we just listen and we keep it in our minds, but we do not act upon it. And that is the qualification of a proper disciple. Qualification of a proper spiritual master is one who is repeating the eternal message through his life's activities as well as through his words. And when the spiritual master, ultimately Krishna reveals us through our heart to a proper spiritual master if he sees we are sincere. And when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is actually willing to dedicate his or her life to the process of purification, is willing to accept his words with faith and be obedient to following, after some time, when that disciple matures and convinces the spiritual master of his own spiritual integrity and his willingness to follow the principles throughout one's life, and when the spiritual master is convinced that the disciple actually is making the goal of life Krishna consciousness, whatever other activities one may have, they are done in a dutiful way, but the goal of life is Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, everything is meant to bring us toward that goal. At that time, when the spiritual master sees that aspiration and that sincerity, then he may give entrance into the eternal disciplic succession of the Lord through the process of diksha or initiation. At that time, we receive not just one person's blessings, but we receive the blessing and mercy of all the previous acharyas and Radha and Krishna themselves through the transparent via medium of the spiritual master at the time of initiation. But initiation itself is a formality which was meant to solemnize the actual aspiration of the heart, of the willingness to surrender to the teachings of Krishna coming through the spiritual master. If one takes diksha but does not have proper motivation of surrender, then that diksha is more or less meaningless. It is actually the spirit of surrender, the spirit of dedication, the spirit of faith that's going to take you back to Godhead. And initiation is the formal commitment of that spirit, which is very important for our spiritual progress. They are very good helpers. Because we are living in a disciplic succession. And as our Guru Maharaj, we are trying to follow in his footsteps. Certainly, Krishna is in the spiritual master's heart, but he also works through his assistants also. Srila Prabhupada was very insistent that the temple president, the GBC, they all have to recommend a person, that for at least 6 months to a year this person has been chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles strictly and really has the ambition to never leave this mission. Then it is the responsibility of those presidents and GBC people to recommend. And then if they carry on for one more year after that, they can be recommended for second initiation. So that is the way Srila Prabhupada devised, because this is a worldwide movement where we're trying to reach as many people as possible with the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we expect that the counselors have a very deep and well and proper understanding of a person's sincerity and a person's commitment and a person's willingness to surrender, and they should not recommend unless that is there. And then between the spiritual master's own realizations of that person combined with the recommendations of the counselor, a decision is made. But if the person is not sincere, he's only cheating himself. Some people simply want initiation, but they don't really want to be an eternal servant. They feel that initiation is a blessing, and they want the blessing, but they do not want the eternal servant. So even if a person is initiated, that person is actually cheating himself or cheating herself by not really accepting the real spirit of the teachings of the spiritual master. So we should actually take initiation with the real spirit, the spirit of willingness to Hariprasnena Sevaya, Pranipatena Hariprasnena Sevaya, to approach with submissiveness, to inquire, and to become the servant of the servant. That is true initiation. Of devotees or in the material arrangements? Material arrangements, we should not become angry, but we should do our job efficiently. This material world, you have to fight to survive. So if you Arjuna was fighting, of course he was fighting for Krishna. So in fight, sometimes you can become angry. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes become very angry in his fighting against Maya. But that was perfect. Srila Prabhupada said when the dignity of people's lives is being exploited by wicked people, devotees should become angry to defend the truth. When Vaishnavas or the principles of Vaishnavism is being challenged, we should not sit in an imitation state of humility. Real humility is to stand up and fight, even if you become angry. But for ourselves, our own dignity, our own integrity, our own prestige, we should be very humble. We should not mind anything. So in the material world, if someone is criticizing you because you are not defending yourself, then you should tolerate that also and be humble. Don't worry about it. You should know that they are all an illusion. We should not become like them due to their pressures. People become angry when they lose their sense gratification or where they fail in their material pursuits. But we are tolerant. We are not attached. We are not fazed by them. So let them say whatever they want. But if we're going to put a show of humility in the name of incompetence and unwillingness to do our work, then that is not real humility. You understand the difference? You should not become greedy. You should become greedy for Krishna, not for money. Rupa Goswami says the price of receiving pure love of God is the greed to have it. So we want to develop spiritual greed. Spiritual greed means we are longing, we are hankering, we will do anything for Krishna. That greed we want. But the greed of this material world, for the things of this world, we should just give up. We should not be inspired by that. But as far as whether we should just go on with our daily routine nicely, or whether we should be meeting challenges every day to increase our work, that we have to decide on the basis of how we could best serve Krishna. If you are a businessman and you want to give a lot of money to help spread Krishna consciousness, then the greed is to serve Krishna. The greed is not for the money for yourself. So you could work very hard, and you could meet so many challenges, and you could fight against so many obstacles, and you could do so much extra, because your motivation is to increase your service to Krishna. But if it is just for your own prestige and your own wealth, then better to just go on with daily routine and live a simple life and increase your sadhana and increase your going to programs and being with devotees. So the real question is how you can best serve Krishna. Just like students, there's so many challenges in being a student. Some of our devotees are doctors, and some of them want to be first class doctors, but they want to do it for Krishna. They want to give the prestige of their work to utilize for the purpose of preaching and to give dignity to their guru's mission. So obviously to become a good doctor, you can't just do your job. You have to do extra. You have to always be striving to do extra more than anybody else is willing to do. Some devotees are studying and they want to get very good grades, because they want to utilize what they learn for Krishna. They want to utilize the prestige of a devotee getting good grades to show people the integrity of this movement. So they are not just doing the minimum. They are working very, very hard. But their motivation is to offer the fruits of that work to Krishna. So if you're going to offer the fruits of the work to Krishna, you could work very, very hard. You can be greedy to give more and more for Krishna. That is very good. But if you see that there's really not much I can give to Krishna by working any harder, then better you just do the minimum, depending on the situation, and get by, and just put more and more of your energy in what you can offer to Krishna. In a better way. Do more preaching, book distribution, come to programs, do more reading, like that. So the question is how you can best serve. And that you have to sincerely take inventory of your own heart and also take guidance from experienced devotees. Honesty means that everything is understood properly before the transaction. You should not cheat someone. You should not cheat anyone. That is immoral. But if something is done honestly, then that is all right. You should not